Bevor wir in die aktuelle Podcast-Episode hineinstarten, habe ich noch großartige Neuigkeiten für dich. Und zwar erscheint mein neues Buch Living Well Now, welches ich mit meiner Kollegin Isabel Bietenholz-Lieger geschrieben habe, am 31. August. Das ist ja schon ganz bald. Dementsprechend kannst du das Buch ab jetzt in deiner lokalen Buchhandlung vorbestellen und wirst es dann wahrscheinlich zeitnah in den Händen halten. Und dieses Buch liegt mir unglaublich am Herzen, denn hier geht es wirklich um die Themen, die uns aktuell bewegen. Wie können wir in der heutigen Zeit wirklich gut leben? Nicht nur unseren Alltag meistern, sondern wirklich Freude an unserem Leben haben und hier von all diesen kurzlebigen Wellness-Trends wirklich einen Abstand nehmen und das in unser Leben bringen, was wir wirklich wollen. Und dieses Buch wird dich dabei begleiten. Deshalb, wenn es dich interessiert, schau super gerne in deine Buchhandlung vorbei, bestell es vor und natürlich wird es rund um das Erscheinungsdatum hier noch das ein oder andere Special geben. Und jetzt wünsche ich dir erstmal ganz viel Freude mit der aktuellen Podcast-Episode.
Collagen, the reason why it is so important is it is the main protein of our body. It makes up 30% of our body, which is why it's quite alarming that we start losing it so early. And it's not just in the skin. A lot of people associate it with skin health, and they should. It's 75% of our skin. But it's also 70-80% of our joints, tendons, cartilage. This is all collagen. It's our blood vessels. It's our intestinal lining. It's our eyeballs. It's our teeth. It's 90% of our bone organic matrix. So it's really the glue that holds our body together.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen beim Healthy High Performance Podcast. Mein Name ist Dr. Jana Scharfenberg. Ich bin Ärztin, Ayurveda-Expertin, Unternehmerin und Mama von 2 Kindern. Hier geht es um eine neue Art von Erfolg und Leben. Ambitioniert und gesund. Ohne Hustle, ohne Burnout, dafür mit viel Erfüllung. In diesem Podcast teile ich medizinisches und unternehmerisches Know-how mit dir, zeige echte Insights aus dem Business-Alltag und teile Gespräche mit inspirierenden Menschen. Für gesunde High Performance, für Menschen, die Großes bewegen wollen, ohne sich dabei selbst zu verlieren. Denn hier gilt ein Credo: We create fast, but live slow. Herzlich willkommen und los geht's mit dieser Episode. Wie schön, dass du zur heutigen Podcast-Episode wieder eingeschalten hast. Ich hoffe, es geht dir gut. Ich hoffe, du bist in guter Energie. Und heute habe ich ein Thema für dich, was viele sich gewünscht haben und was sehr viele Menschen da draußen beschäftigt. Wer meine Arbeit kennt, weiß, dass ich beim Thema Supplements, Pulver, Zusatzstoffe etc. eher zurückhaltend bin. Und für mich meistens persönlich das Credo gilt, weniger ist mehr. Denn für mich besteht die Gesundheit immer aus einem guten Fundament von Ernährung, Lebensstil, innerer Balance, mentale Gesundheit und Bewegung bzw. Krafttraining. Und gleichzeitig schaue ich mir natürlich alle Themen, die da draußen so kursieren, mit ganz großer Neugier an, probiere viel für mich selber aus, aber natürlich auch für euch und vor allem Themen, die sehr kontrovers diskutiert werden, möchte ich immer etwas besser verstehen. Und ein Thema, was wirklich sehr kontrovers diskutiert wird und wo wir wieder viele verschiedene Meinungen da draußen finden, ist das Thema Kollagen. Viele von euch haben sich gewünscht, dass ich dazu etwas sage. Denn auch hier haben wir Meinungsbilder von, das bringt alles überhaupt nichts, ja, das sind quasi Schlachtabfälle, die wir hier konsumieren, bis hin zu, hey, das ist nicht nur für die Hautgesundheit, sondern für den gesamten Körper ein ganz, ganz wichtiges Thema. Finden wir natürlich ganz viel. Ja? Und hier liegen wie immer Unsicherheit, Halbwissen, Marketing, aber vielleicht auch Forschungsgrundlagen sehr, sehr nah beieinander. Und dementsprechend war es mir wichtig, diesem Thema, weil ihr es so gerne hören wolltet, in diesem Podcast auch Raum zu geben. Und dazu habe ich mir einen sehr spannenden Interviewgast eingeladen. Dr. Vanessa Craig ist Ernährungswissenschaftlerin und Gründerin der Marke Formeta. Sie arbeitet seit Jahrzehnten sehr wissenschaftlich und forscht zu unterschiedlichen Themen. Wie werden wir gesund alt? Sie war lange in der Krebsforschung und jetzt beschäftigt sie sich seit vielen Jahren mit dem Thema Kollagen und Kollagenpeptiden. Das heißt, sie geht hier wirklich tief rein und schaut, was kann das wirklich für unseren Körper, ja, für eine Veränderung bringen und was eben auch nicht. Und dementsprechend gehen wir grundsätzlich in dieser Folge rein und sprechen über Kollagen, was es im Körper tatsächlich für Funktion hat, welche Rolle es für Haut, Bindegewebe und strukturelle Gesundheit spielt und warum die körpereigene Kollagenproduktion mit zunehmendem Alter abnimmt und wie wir Kollagen zum einen über die Ernährung natürlich gut integrieren können, was neben der Ernährung weitere wichtige Komponenten sind für unsere Gesundheit aus der Perspektive des Well-Aging und der Langlebigkeit und wann und wie es trotzdem auch Sinn machen kann, hier Kollagen eventuell als Supplement für sich zu verstehen. Ein ganz wichtiger Hinweis an dieser Stelle: Das Interview ist auf Englisch, denn Vanessa kommt aus Australien, sie lebt in der Schweiz und dementsprechend haben wir das Interview natürlich in ihrer Muttersprache geführt. Und das andere, was mir ganz wichtig ist: Vanessa ist hier auch Gründerin von Formetta, das heißt von einem Brand, was selber Kollagenprodukte herstellt. Sie schaut das Thema wahnsinnig differenziert an und sagt auch ganz klar, wann wir vielleicht gar kein Kollagen einnehmen sollten. Aber was mir wichtig ist, diese Folge ist unabhängig. Sie ist nicht im Rahmen einer bezahlten Kooperation entstanden, sondern ich suche meine Interviewgäste aus, wenn ich spannende Aspekte sehe und nicht, weil im Hintergrund eine Kooperation läuft. In diesem Sinne wünsche ich dir ganz viel Freude mit diesem Interview, viele spannende Erkenntnisse zu Kollagen und Langlebigkeit. Und jetzt legen wir los. Vanessa, it's such a pleasure to have you here on the podcast today. So a very warm welcome to you. I'm already very excited to hear all the different topics we will touch on. But first of all, welcome.
Thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for having me.
Please give all our listeners a little introduction. Who are you and what is your big passion when it comes to health?
So I am a trained biomedical researcher, so that is my trade. I have a PhD in biomedicine. I came here from Australia. I'm originally Australian. I came here to do my PhD, actually in an immunology lab in the context of cancer. It was in a cancer research institute. I came with this focus to cure cancer. That was always my mission as a student. And so I thoroughly enjoyed this work. I was able to patent two therapies. Published very well in this field, and I still today find this a fascinating field, science of cancer and trying to treat it. With time and with my own aging and health experiences, I was gradually becoming more and more interested in the aging process, also what it has in common with cancer, and this idea of preventing chronic disease. How can we actually do this from a nutrition and lifestyle perspective? And this was very gradual. I did my postdoc in the field of epigenetics, again in the context of cancer. I studied nutrition at Stanford. I started leading a nutrition longevity program at River Medical Campus. In the last 10 years, I really focused on collagen. I became very obsessed with collagen science because I'm very convinced of the clinical research. How much of a big difference it can make to your health, how collagen is really the crux of longevity. But not to oversimplify it, I think we can talk about how insanely complex aging is and longevity is. I never like to just oversimplify it with one root. But with my own, like I said, my own aging, I had two kids, I really experienced premature aging. I reached my 30s already ridden with chronic diseases and inflammation and things that I really wanted to improve on. I was also looking for my own solutions. And I was very disenchanted when I saw that I could not get a collagen supplement, which was based on the clinical research that I was reading. And then I really took it into my own hands and was developing my own collagen products for myself. So this really was a selfish initiative. But then sharing it with clients as well, who I was helping them and consulting them. that to say this isn't just about collagen. The supplement industry in general needs a lot of help. So I focused on collagen, and slowly I'm also looking at a lot of other areas to improve as well. So that's, in a nutshell, who I am and what I do.
A big journey in a nutshell. I love this. Thank you for sharing. You said, you know, the first part of your journey was cancer research, and then you mentioned a few common things when it comes to cancer and also aging. What are these common things, and what can we as listeners and people who are interested in staying healthy can take away from your expertise in cancer science, if we can call it like this, for our own healthy aging?
Well, a lot of the things that are causing cancer are also causing premature aging, right? There's a lot of overlap. And if you look at the hallmarks of cancer, or the hallmarks of aging, are these biological processes which are causing cancer or causing aging, they are overlapping. You could essentially look at aging like a chronic disease in itself in that respect. So as I said, I did my PhD in chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation can lead to cancer. I was studying cancers caused by chronic inflammation, which is preventable. And then chronic inflammation is a main driver of aging as well. And when you're trying to, I don't like saying reverse the aging process, let's say slow down the aging process, or prevent cancer, you're turning on pathways which are so-called anti-cancer pathways, but they're also the anti-aging pathways. So there's a lot of overlap in the biological processes involved in these two areas.
Can you give us a few examples? Because I think that's very interesting to all of us, right? What do these pathways look like? And what can I, as a busy mom of two, running a business, having a full life, what can I do in my daily life to kind of prevent the aging or, you know, these pathways a bit more?
Oh my God, there's so much. It's actually a lot you can do. That is why I always like to think, yes, aging is inevitable, but how you age is under your control, because there is so much you can do to slow it down. And to be honest, we already know so many of these things. That's why I feel like I'm really just saying common sense. We know how much stress can reduce chronic disease, how much it can reduce or de-accelerate aging. Stress is a huge one. Of course, having better sleep, movement. And then, of course, nutrition plays a big role. And I'm a big advocate for an anti-inflammatory diet. A lot of people, what does that even mean? But really, it's very common sense in terms of, we know that excess sugar in the diet, I'm not saying no sugar, I'm not the sugar police, but we do know that excess sugar, a lot of, again, I don't even like to use the word highly processed, a lot of processed foods are good for us as well. But it's really being careful about what we put in our body, making sure that we are getting a lot of nutrient-dense foods in our body. So therefore, I think my answer is a bit boring. I think we already know this. There's no miracle pill. Yeah. There never will be, because you can't out-supplement a poor diet. You can't out-supplement too much stress. There's just no quick fix. You need to take care of all these pills.
Yeah. And that's the interesting point, right? Which is kind of connecting to what you said before. It's like, on one hand, we cannot oversimplify the stuff. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, the foundation for, call it health, call it longevity, call it whatever, the foundation for our life is actually pretty simple when we look at what you just said, right? How we eat, how we move, how we sleep. So where do you have the feeling things get oversimplified, and where do they get too complicated?
I think it can get too complicated I actually talk a lot about cellular health, about really a lot of the supplements we make at Formeta is, I think I should have mentioned that I make supplements. They're really focused on cellular health. But what does that even mean? And when you have a supplement which is focused on mitochondrial health, sometimes people are like, well, that's enough. You know, you got to take care of your mitochondria. This one compound is going to do the work. And that, to me, is oversimplified. Like I said, there's 12 biological processes which are governing the aging pathway. When you think about DNA repair, cellular senescence, there's a lot of different things that you need to focus on. And a lot of people don't have a great understanding of their cellular health to actually know what may need more help than others. So I think it's grossly oversimplified by a lot of products selling you solutions via one pathway. We see that in the skincare industry as well, not just supplement industry. So I think you need to be a bit careful about where you are actually investing your money.
Yeah. So we have like both, right? It's like, it's very complicated and we can make it very complicated. And on the other hand, for, let's say, marketing purpose, it's sometimes broken down in a very simple way, which is not grasping the whole picture. Is that correct?
So my mission is to, of course, not oversimplify health and selling people a solution, this magic bullet. I want to do it very responsibly in that this can help you, but you need to also take care of a lot of other aspects of health, which are going to help. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a problem when you see a supplement being sold that it can reverse the aging process.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're under a lot of chronic stress, you're not sleeping, I think that's a gross oversimplification. I mean, I can firsthand say that when I was after my, you know, having kids, being heavily sleep deprived, it didn't matter what I ate. I was prematurely aging. Like, if your sleep is not well, then it doesn't really matter what you're doing on all fronts. There's no supplement that can help you. Did I answer your question? I feel like I'm...
Yes, you did. Yeah, thank you so much for that. No, it's perfect. So when we look at this, what made you go in the direction that you said, okay, I want to create my own supplement? Because, you know, when I think about supplements, it feels like there are a gazillion supplements out there. It feels like a jungle. So I'm always, you know, as a business owner, very interested what drives us to see something. Hey, here I should jump in and create something that is better or helping more. What is your personal way behind that?
Look, I think it comes down to a personal obsession of wanting to find what works. I think as a researcher who's spent so many years in the lab trying to understand what works and what can work and experimenting, and you know, you're really a truth seeker. And for me, I am such a skeptic when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to anything in this field. And I think I needed that control. And I just didn't see anyone doing it right. And that's what gave me the confidence and the motivation, because I didn't plan on leaving my then research career to really challenge that. Because it's a poorly regulated industry. The supplement industry is not like the pharma industry. They get away with a lot. It is so highly controlled. Like, the marketing is out of control, out of control. And this is an interesting experience to be trying to educate people alongside of brands where the marketing speak is very misleading. And what we have now are highly confused people who throw their hands up in the air and would rather not take anything. And I completely understand that. I don't think supplements are for everyone. I think you do need to be quite experimental, have that nature, because it's not a given, I mean, that it will work, and you're often very misled. I think that comes down to, like I said, the marketing, the words you're allowed to use. You're allowed to say something's natural when it's not. No one will pick up on that. You're allowed to say something's clinically tested when it's not. It is insane what companies get away with, and that's a real pity. And so I guess it's just my personal mission of wanting to provide a space for people to have products that are that I can stand behind and that they can trust.
So were these things you discovered along the way while creating your own brand, or was that something you were fully aware of, how this industry works and all the things you just said, and you were going in with the drive, I will change this?
For sure. Like I said, I was like, okay, get me a collagen supplement. I'm in my 30s. I can start seeing the aging process, like, because our collagen starts to decline after age 25. So you reach your 30s and then you start getting wrinkles, you start getting aches and pains.
a hangover takes more than a day and things like that. You're not as resilient as you used to be. And therefore, I was very motivated then to take supplements. It wasn't before that. I think I was still, as a student, very much still riding on the waves of youth where you're thinking it's going to last forever, even though I'm a scientist.
I was the same.
Aging cancer. It's the irony of the doctor smoking outside the hospital, right? Like, even though we know it's bad for you, you're still doing things like that. So I was more motivated a bit later. And then so it's when really I started to look for these supplements and curate my own supplement routine to fill the gaps based on blood work and also my symptoms, that I was really not happy with what I could find. And then I was having to source things from so far away, things like that. And that's what really took me on the journey. And then keeping on uncovering these untruths. So it was really peeling back the curtain as time went on and being pretty appalled by what I was seeing.
So we have a lot of listeners who are very interested in supplements and probably take some. But what I always experience, as we said before, it's a big jungle. It's very overwhelming. And often, as we said before, if things get simplified, it's like, if you're not taking this, you will not be healthy, or you will not have,
a lot of fear-mongering.
Exactly. Fear-mongering. That's a perfect word for that. So from your expertise, when I'm sitting here and say, Vanessa, I want to take something, I should take supplements, I don't know where to start. What are you doing with your clients to educate them and also empower them to know what to look for?
First, it's based on your health goal. So it has to be individualized. Not someone's supplement routine shouldn't look like someone else's. We don't eat exactly the same as everyone. It's going to be different. So you really do need to dig in and understand what they want to feel better. Is it their sleep? Is it their energy? Is it how they are? Is it their skin? There are some common goals. Obviously, everyone wants glowing skin. I mean, this is something that everyone wants. Who doesn't want that? And so, and the reason why I focused on collagen is because this is something everyone should take. This is not like many other supplements where it's very individual, like your dietitian, your blood saying you really need to up this. You're not absorbing it as well from your food.
Yeah.
Of course, there are quite a few which generally most people should take. Magnesium is usually good for everyone, omega-3. But with collagen, if after the age of 25, like I said, it is depleting. And the reason why I felt very safe and responsible creating a formulation is because it's no longer in our diet. I always think supplements are great, but food is always first. I'm sure you agree with that. Food is number one.
Of course. Yeah.
Always going to be the best thing. You've got all your nutrients wrapped up in the food matrix. That's how we should be having our nutrition. But with collagen, it's no longer in our diet. And so that's why having a collagen supplement is the next best thing. If you were going to make bone broth every day, high quality bone broth every day, then I'd say, hey, that's then, okay, you could. Even though we have got a study showing that our peptides are even better than bone broth, but still, bone broth is amazing. But and before I made this supplement, I was making bone broth. And I tell you, that was a huge laborious problem, like a process. You're making it overnight. It's
a big process.
It's a big thing. Getting these bones and everything and chicken feet and all these things to make it. It's not something you can get from the supermarket so easy. And so therefore, these things can make it less complicated and more convenient. So obviously I'm biased because I am very much into collagen science, but I really think everyone can benefit so much from improving their collagen stores. It really is, the more collagen you have, the healthier you will be.
Okay. So back to the question. First of all, what is my health goal? This is, I should be aware of. What am I aiming for? And as you said, we have to kind of see, do I have a deficiency somewhere where we are more like in the therapy part, right? Like iron is missing, how can I supplement that? And the other part you were talking about is, what are things in general that decline over time and where we all can benefit from if we take it, whether we have a deficiency or not, because this is kind of a different perspective we put in on it, right? And this is something we should probably do with all supplements, whether it's collagen or not, really see, is it like a deficiency? Do I need that? What are my goals? And what is beneficial in general for me? Is this a little guideline we can give people?
Yeah, you said it much better than me, actually, so thanks.
No, you said it perfect. You said it perfect. I'm just, my brain is sometimes trying to...
No, I like how you framed it. That's exactly what I want to say, yes.
Perfect. Yeah. So you said before collagen is the big part you were focusing on and which you found yourself. And I love this story, you know, really cooking this bone broth. I mean, I can remember that from postpartum, you know, that my Ayurvedic therapist, she was always bringing the bone broth and I loved it. But I was always imagining, oh my God, doing that myself every day is just a lot of work. So give us a little bit the science around collagen. You already dropped very great insights, you know, what it's doing for us. And glowing skin is amazing. But I'm pretty sure there's so much more behind collagen than the wonderful skin I'm seeing in front of me.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Yes, I mean, collagen, the reason why it is so important is it is the main protein of our body. It makes up 30% of our body, which is why it's quite alarming that we start losing it so early. And it's not just in the skin. A lot of people associate it with skin health, and they should. It's 75% of our skin. But it's also 70, 80% of our joints, tendons, cartilage. This is all collagen. It's our blood vessels. It's our intestine lining. It's our eyeballs. It's in our teeth. It's 90% of our bone organic matrix. So it's really the glue that holds our body together. And like I said, it's quite alarming. After the age of 25, we start losing it. We have peak collagen around 25, not surprising to anyone. Just like we have peak bone density around 25, 30. Mm-hmm. And then the aging process starts. We start losing collagen. And this is what leads to these negative signs of aging that we are all trying to avoid, such as the wrinkles and the achy joints. And this is down to, a lot of the time, collagen, inflammation, these kinds of things. Yeah, so the best thing to, and the reason is twofold. So your collagen-producing cells, they have different names depending on the area of the body. Let's just call them collagen-producing cells. Yeah. They are producing less collagen as we age. Their metabolism is slowing. That's a normal process. But we're also degrading collagen faster than we're making it. And that's why we are losing 1 to 1.5% of collagen per year. Around menopause, it really drops off a cliff. That's when we see an even faster rate. So you can see it's also dependent on hormones there too. So yes, that's why you really need a strategy to not only stimulate these collagen-producing cells to increase their metabolism, which comes from the diet. This would come from collagen-rich foods, comes from collagen peptides that you get from collagen-rich foods, but you also want to reduce the degradation of collagen.
Yeah.
And you can do that by providing a collagen-friendly environment, reducing chronic inflammation, providing your body with certain antioxidants which inhibit these enzymes which break down collagen. Mm-hmm. We know how to do this from clinical studies, but we also have to think about things outside of nutrition. Obviously, reducing sugar is a big one. This can really break down collagen faster by glycating the proteins. But also, we know that UV, obviously, this breaks down collagen. This is why dermatologists bang on about sunscreen so much. But also, movement, lack of movement can increase the risk of collagen breakdown. Stress, lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. Again, all these pillars we talked about. That's why you need to take that into account as well.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So I have two questions. One is, when collagen is going down, we were talking about skin and wrinkles, but you were also saying joint aches. So what more internal symptoms we should be aware of could come from the lack of collagen, which we as women might not think about?
Look, to be honest, most people notice the beauty effects. Yes. First. So if you, what I like to also think about is, you know, the disease scurvy, this is a lack of vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And when you have this, your collagen suffers. And so what people notice is their hair's falling out, their nails fall out, their teeth falls out. all these things. And this is because of the lack of collagen. So what other people notice is the gut issues. So we do work with doctors who are gut specialists who really like our collagen supplement, and they really find that it helps improve gut health. The intestinal lining is made up of collagen. Mm-hmm. So helping that, helping your gut by reinforcing collagen production is also a big one too. Unfortunately, there's no clinical studies on the gut health though. So we really only work from anecdotal evidence there. We also work with gynecologists as well. And we find that it helps with conditions like endometriosis, cycle regulation as well, which is very interesting to me. And I wish we could investigate that further, because it just shows you how far reaching the effects of collagen are in the body. It's not just, like you said, it's not just about skin. And so it's always interesting to me for people to report back what they're feeling. But another major one is pain. So body pain, whether it's back pain, whether it's knee pain, and arthritis. So we do have clinical studies in these areas. So that's for sure a big one, because this really helps with your mobility, and therefore that is why I do connect collagen a lot with longevity. Because it's, if you're improving mobility and improving bone density, which our peptides have also been proven to do in clinical trials in postmenopausal women with low bone density, you really are increasing your lifespan. Because there are studies showing that if you have a break, a fracture in your bone, your risk of dying in the first 6 months increases by 40%. So things like osteoporosis, which we accept as quite normal as you age, are preventable and are deadly. So they should be considered more serious. And I think it's important to build awareness around that.
I think it's super important because, as we said before, right, we're all here for the glowy skin. I love that. Mm. But I'm hearing how central it can be for female health, for gut health, for joint health, and really thinking into how important this is for our longevity and also for our life quality. I mean, this personally for me puts it in a totally other arena when it comes to our health, right? That we can also look into that. So I'm curious to see when we maybe talk in a few years again about this, how the studies evolved around, especially female health, because I also think there's a big, big, big potential for that.
I agree. I mean, a disease like osteoporosis, for example, that's more common in women. 1 in 3 women in Switzerland, 1 in 5 men, actually. So it is still common, but it is a silent epidemic. And what's really alarming is that more and more younger women are getting osteopoiesis, which is the precursor to, or osteopenia, sorry, is the precursor to osteoporosis, which just shouldn't be happening. I mean, this is entirely preventable, and it just shows you the influence that nutrition is having. I mean, maybe it'll be better because strength training is really having a moment now.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that helps, but I really think collagen is the missing piece of bone health there. So we're really trying to, I mean, it's a struggle to make bones sexy. People don't want to think about bones like they do with skin, but we're certainly on a mission to try and spread the word to doctors that collagen should not be forgotten. It is as important as calcium and vitamin D.
Fair point. What is actually collagen-rich food? I mean, we talked about the bone broth before. Are there any other good sources we can focus on in our daily nutrition?
Good question, because it's a bit of a disappointing answer, because like I said, these foods aren't really prevalent in our diet anymore. Collagen comes from animals. Plants do not make collagen. So as much as it may be seen on Instagram that there's a vegan collagen, this is not collagen. It's, you know, in quotation marks, collagen. So it has to come from animals, and not just any part of the animal. So what we're normally eating from the animal is the chicken breast or the beef fillet, or, you know, the very small part of the animal. But where the collagen lies is in what is often discarded, and that's in the skin, that's in the bones, that's in the gelatinous cuts of meat. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, bone marrow is kind of trendy. So is bone broth, but people not having this every day, and We're not eating the animal nose to tail, which is a reason why we should be doing that, is because we're missing out on all these other nutrients in the animal, and we're just sticking with the muscle meat, which is also highly nutritious. But I really wish that we were eating the whole animal, so we could really have all the benefits, because it even comes down to the amino acid profiles. They're so different from the different parts of the animals.
Yeah. I mean, the critique I always hear when it comes to collagen is that different people in the health industry say, hey, look, this is like an animal byproduct, like a waste product when it comes to, you know, producing meat, and it's doing nothing to you. So I see you talking about it with so much passion, but also with so much background in science. So can you give us a few facts and figures why we shouldn't think in that way, or we're eating just, you know, a byproduct and it's not doing anything to us? What are the studies really showing?
So interesting. So I didn't even know people had that perception. I thought people were more like, that's gross, like they don't want to think about eating like the skin of an animal.
Also a point.
Maybe. But yeah, it is a real pity. I think it is getting more accepted, this the tail eating. A lot of biohackers are really eating a lot of liver these days, which is great, because, I mean, liver, for example, is the most nutrient-dense part of the animal, one of. We should definitely be eating more of these organ meats to the point that people are even buying supplements with capsules of the organs, right? Because it's so not, we're so not used to eating it. And I think you actually need to grow up eating it. Otherwise, it can really be a bit distasteful for you.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who can't handle eating kidney and liver and these things, which offer really great nutrients. And when we have this overconsumption of muscle meat, we're actually having a really high intake of methionine. And this is what leads to this these opinions that animal meat cannot be good for us because it stimulates, maybe I'm going too sciencey, but it stimulates mTOR, which can switch on, you know, these pro-aging pathways. But it's really not the case. We just need to eat more balanced. We just have to have a more balanced meat intake for sure. And make sure that you're also eating, you know, also buko and these slow cooked meats as well, which are going to give you a different nutrient profile. In the end, we should always be eating as diverse as possible. I think you for sure would be a huge fan of the eating 30 plants a week and really trying to eat as diverse as possible. But it should also be like that with the animal foods that we take in as well. Mm. Not just eating a chicken breast over and over and over.
Yeah.
Eat the other parts as well.
Yeah. Eat the other parts as well. So you would say also when it comes to collagen and this critique of, oh, you know, it's we eat a waste product. It's not true, because you have the science, which clearly shows that we need this external source of collagen to really fuel us.
Look, it gets tricky, because why are we not eating them? Like you said, it's not just because they're gross. It's because we've been told that they're more empty nutritionally. Of course, they're not. But then it gets complicated. Okay, why did we start not eating the skin? Is it fat content? People were scared about animal fats, too much fat. And look, I can't argue against that. It is probably better to have a collagen peptide supplement than really eating animal skin every day, and then also having a lot of this animal fat. I can't argue against that.
Get that. Yeah.
It is tricky.
It is tricky. And I think we all have to find our way, right? Because this brings me to the next point. There are probably a lot of listeners who say, well, I'm vegetarian, I'm vegan, but you're talking about animal skin. I will not eat that. And I also don't want to have a supplement which contains animal things. Yeah. So do we have any alternatives for that, or not at all?
In terms of a vegan collagen alternative, I simply don't believe you should be buying what is called a vegan collagen. I think these are amino acids, which are overpriced, and they don't contain peptides. And the peptides have to come from collagen, and the peptides are signaling molecules. So when you think of a protein, it's made up of peptides, and those peptides are made up of amino acids. So that's just how you can visualize it. The amino acids are the building blocks of the peptides. The peptides are can be the building blocks of the protein. But the peptides are essentially in themselves signaling molecules. They're functional. And this is what stimulates the collagen producing cells. Mm-hmm. The amino acids are the building blocks. So like I said, there's two problems with aging. Our collagen producing cells are getting lazy. Their metabolism has slowed. They're not making as much collagen and we're breaking it down faster. The amino acids aren't going to increase the metabolism. So you're not actually going to produce much more collagen. You're just providing your cells with the substrate to make it. So that is why I'm not an advocate of vegan collagen. Of course, amino acids are great and vitamin C and all these things that are involved in the collagen producing process. So it's not a bad thing, but you're not going to get the same effect that we see with collagen peptides, which can be quite powerful because peptides are powerful. We see that with even medicines, Ozempic, for example. This is a peptide. Peptides are signaling molecules. Yeah. They are much more active than amino acids. Yeah, I spent years formulating a vegan product, which we do have in our we do offer now, but it's not a collagen. These are plant compounds which are targeting the hallmarks of aging. And I think focusing on cellular health that way is a much better alternative than investing in a vegan collagen.
Yeah, yeah, fair point. So when I'm sitting here and I just turned 40 and I hear this, oh my God, when I'm 25, the collagen starts to decline. Is it too late to start later with collagen than 25?
Well, first of all, you look great. So
thank you.
Whatever you're doing works. I wouldn't be too worried. You have beautiful skin and it's glowing, which for me, because skin is really a reflection of internal health always. No, it is not too late. It is never too early. You know, it is never too late. And the reason why I can stand behind that is because collagen used to historically be in our diet for a reason. It's still in a lot of traditional cultures quite heavily featured. And the young, everyone eats the chicken soup and the collagen-rich foods for a reason. You know, we have clinical studies with 18-year-olds up to 80 showing an effect. It is never too late to build collagen and you should never stop trying. It's very similar to muscle. Even when you're in your old age, you always need to focus on building muscle. Building, I always say building is the opposite of aging. Aging is a stage, you know, it's decline. It's a stage of decline. And so you always want to really fight and always build. And it's sort of trying to get in that anabolic phase, we call it.
Yeah.
And you can do that through your diet. It just takes more effort, but it works.
Yeah. Love this. Always building. It also gives you a little bit of empowering, right? Because building is active. Like I can actually do something. I don't have to.
Yes. If you are living, your body can still build. Like it is not too late. You don't give up. That is what it is designed for. And it just needs to give the right nutrients and it can do it.
Yeah.
Takes a bit more time, but never too late.
So you founded your company. You're clearly on a very big mission. I love that. Where do you see going in the future? Because as I understood it, collagen is a central piece, but you also want to focus on other things. And where's everything evolving for you?
Look, I'm really selfishly creating supplements for myself. That's what I always say. That's how the company started and it will always be that way. So that's why we will never be this company where we're selling every supplement under the sun.
Yeah.
This is a very tight curation of what I know works. That is really what I'm dedicated to. My research is dedicated to understanding what works and then making products that work. And I love every minute of it in terms of there is still so much to do. And so I'm really excited about our pipeline and what we have to offer. It goes into, the further areas of research that I've been involved in. I've always been involved heavily in protein science. And so, we'll be leaning more towards this area. Mm-hmm. And very excited that we can continue in different health areas as well.
Wow, that's interesting. And it's nice, right?
Keeping it very vague, sorry, but I'm just like, there's more to come.
We will see it. We will observe and see.
You know, anyone who knows me knows that I carry around all these different little bags of potions and powders, and it just, my bag looks like a drug dealer. And so in the end, I'm really just trying to have a nicely, everything in nice actual packaging that I can take and essentially share with everyone, because I know these things work.
Yeah, that's great. I love your passion about this. So beside collagen supplement, my last question for today would be, what are the things, especially us as women, should focus on in aging healthy, beside, you know, the big foundation we covered and collagen? What are the things you personally focusing on to really enjoy your life and get older in a healthy way?
I know it's very cliched, but I think you really need to focus on how you feel and your energy and your vitality. That's always going to be number one. I think if we're always trying to look a certain way, I think this is specific to women, is that we end up wasting our money and our time on treatments and, you know, any makeup, all this stuff that doesn't really add quality to your life. In the end, I'm all about the quality of your life, how well you can move and feel. In the end, you will stay useful and you'll be able to help people and give back. And I think that is really, in the end, what's going to make you a happy person.
Oh my God, I love these words. And I mean, I always have a last question, another podcast guest left for you without knowing you. And the one I have for you is just so perfectly fitting. It's, where do you feel vital and full of joy and yourself? In which life situation in which situation, basically?
It's always with my kids. I mean, I know it's so predictable, but you know more than anyone, you have children. Being a mother is the most amazing gift. I've learned so much about myself and am so grateful to them. I really feel like they are my teachers. I know that's so cliched, but it just can't be more true. I learn something every day about them, about myself. They make me want to be a better person. They make you want to leave the world a better place. And I think this is ultimately what fills me with a lot of joy and motivation.
I love this. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Vanessa, before you wrap up this interview, is there anything you want to add for our dear listeners, which we haven't touched upon yet, but where you feel it's important that everybody hears this?
Not really. I mean, to be honest, I feel like I've talked way too much. I would love to hear more about what you think about the supplement industry. I was banging on way too much about it. Yeah, because I think that we have I think you are probably also very skeptical, and I'd be very interested to know what areas you'd like to improve in this industry or how you navigate through this industry.
Yeah. It's a good question. We definitely need a big coffee date about that.
I know, right? That could be part two.
That can be part two. But I mean, to wrap it up here a little bit, I see it as you, right? It's a big jungle. And for me, it's all about that people are empowered to make their decisions. I mean, I honestly don't care in the end if and what they take, if they know why and what the aim and the goal is with that. Because what I see too much is, you said it before, the fear mongering, right? It's like, somebody just told me I have to take this, and now I have like so many supplements and I don't know why I'm taking them and I'm afraid not taking them. So for me, it's about know why, educate yourself, pick supplements that have a good quality, stick with them without hopping, you know, from one trendy thing to the other, and have a clear goal with it, whether it's glowy skin, whether it's more energy. So basically, I'm with you. Everything you said before, I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, but I think you're doing a good service to your listeners, because I think in the end, people really need someone who they can trust. Because I think navigating through that industry, you often do need a research degree. You need a science degree to actually understand. And so I think what you're doing is great, that you're really deep diving and helping people, empowering them with some confidence that they can understand what they should take.
And to be fair, you say, you know, if you're familiar with research, but you know, I'm not every day as you are in clinical research. So even then, with the knowledge and the background in it, it's a hard topic to stay on track with everything that's happening. So it's very great, you know, that we have different perspectives on it and that we can get the know-how together, that people basically can form their own opinions about it and see what fits them. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Vanessa, it was great having you here. Thank you so much for all this information. This is a jam-packed episode. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jana. It was great to talk to you.
Vielen Dank, dass du bei diesem Interview mit dabei warst. Und wir sind ja in unterschiedliche Themenkomplexe hineingegangen, um dir wirklich so die ganze Bandbreite mitzugeben. Ich bin ganz gespannt, was deine Erkenntnis dazu ist. Nimmst du Kollagen ein, ja oder nein? Ist das etwas, was du für dich schon mal überlegt hast? Oder sagst du, nein, das ist auf gar keinen Fall mein Feld? Ich muss persönlich sagen, ich bin dem Thema immer noch sehr offen gegenüber, mache für mich persönlich einfach gerade den Selbsttest, ob ich für mich wirklich eine Veränderung für meine Gesundheit, meine Vitalität, meine Haut merke, wenn ich jetzt einfach mal für eine gewisse Zeit Kollagen konsequent einnehme. Das heißt, ich bin hier für mich wirklich auch noch unentschlossen, wo das Ganze sozusagen langfristig für mich positioniert sein wird. Aber ich finde es auf jeden Fall spannend, hier mehr darüber zu lernen, mehr mitzunehmen. Und wenn du dich dazu vertiefen möchtest, dann abonniere bitte unbedingt auch meinen Newsletter, denn in den Podcast-Lettern, die ich immer nach einer veröffentlichten Episode sende, bringe ich natürlich noch viel mehr Informationen mit rein. Ich beantworte auch die Frage, die mein Interviewgast am Ende der Folge beantwortet, immer auch noch selber, um einen persönlichen Einblick zu geben. Und gerade zum Thema Kollagen habe ich dir in dem Newsletter, der jetzt sehr zeitnah erscheinen wird, natürlich noch ganz viele Informationen mit angehängt. In diesem Sinne, schön, dass du mit dabei warst und bis zum nächsten Mal. Vielen Dank, dass du bei dieser Episode des Healthy High Performance Podcast dabei warst. Wenn diese Folge für dich hilfreich war, dann habe ich genau eine Bitte an dich. Teile sie bitte mit Menschen in deinem Umfeld, die davon auch profitieren könnten, und hinterlasse mir eine Bewertung auf Spotify oder Apple Podcasts. So können noch mehr Menschen diesen wertvollen Podcast für sich finden und auch in ein gesund ambitioniertes Leben ohne Hustle, ohne Burnout hineingehen. Vielen Dank und ich freue mich, dass wir uns hier ganz bald wieder hören.